In the shotgun, Matthew Stafford flips the back out the right side. Empty shotgun snap. He's looking right. He fires to the goal line, sitting down with the catch. And the touchdown is Cooper Kupp. Touchdown, L.A. Now they go empty. 3 by 2. Trips to his left. That's where he looks initially. Gets through it. Drives the ball down the right seam. Cooper Kupp has the catch. Middle of the field at the 10. 5. Touchdown, L.A. Cooper Kupp with his second touchdown of the second half. And the Rams are back on the high side.
That's awesome. Rams are back on the high side. Okay, great. Hooray for the Rams. You beat the lifeless Seattle Seahawks last night. The Seahawks are done. The Seahawks are dead. They were already dead. They were kind of zombie walking around, and then finally they you know what they were? They were in the movies where the zombie has no legs and it's the crawling zombie, you know, where it really is toast, and the only chance it has is if you're stuck in the library and you're sitting around the Rams were just the person that comes around the corner with the pickaxe and is like, no more crawling zombie, no more.
Isn't there a special way to kill zombies? Like, don't Blake you need to blow them up or something?
Well, headshots. What? Double
yeah.
tap.
Oh, headshots, yeah. But I thought you had to, like, burn them or something, or is that vampires?
Haylish, how do you not know basic zombie science?
I haven't had to encounter any in my life.
Yeah.
Two or three COVID mutations from here, you're toast.
Yeah. Don't you have to burn them? Yum, yum, yum. That's going to be the zombie on you as you're trying to figure it out. Blake and I are going to be living on high ground, taking headshots, no problemo, living this sucker out.
You're trying to call the Seahawks is ankle biters.
Yeah, they are. They're ankle biters. That's it. They're the ankle biters, and now they are no longer the ankle biters. Now they're just the passe ankle biters. So, I don't have a lot from the Washington game. I watched both last night. I don't really know if anybody cared. Washington goes up 10-0, and I still felt like Philly was going to win because there's a quarterback named Gabriel, and I went, I've never heard of you before, so you're going to lose. And they did. They lost by, I think, 2 scores. But the Seahawks game, I thought there were 2 interesting things from it that I want to talk about with you guys. Number one is just there's this weird thing with Cooper Kupp where we acknowledge how good he is, and yet we don't really at the same time. And is Cooper Kupp underrated, is what I wanted to ask the two of you. Like, they threw up that stat yesterday. It's a different NFL era, but now he has more receptions in a single season for the Rams than Torrey Holt or Isaac Bruce ever did, and it's not the end of the year. So again, modern day NFL versus old NFL, but still, part of what The Greatest Show on Turf was about how they were a modern or a closer to a modern NFL offense. He's going to shatter that record. 90-plus receiving yards in 10 straight games. I couldn't help but feel like he is the most, I don't know if you're underrated or overrated player in the NFL, because they spend all broadcast talking about him whenever we watch them. They go, look at the blocking of Cooper Kupp. Look how he gets open like Cooper Kupp. Look at the touchdowns of Cooper Kupp, the yards, the raw statistics. But it doesn't really feel like we have conversations about Cooper outside of that. Like, in the MVP conversation, he has been really absent from it. In the greatest receivers in the game conversation, we tend to gravitate to, I think, more imposing wide receivers, like more physically dominant-looking wide receivers. And yet, so where do you land on just Cooper Kupp? Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Underrated. And I think maybe it's because when we think of who's going to be in the MVP race, I just automatically think of a quarterback because it's just like, hey, this person is the captain or the driving force behind this team's success. Maybe because I'm thinking of my boy Josh Allen, or thinking of someone like a Tom Brady, who's kind of just like the face of a team's success. But 100% Cooper Kupp has been underrated. Like, I just forget about him unless the team I care about is playing him, or you're playing somebody in fantasy football that has him. But yeah, like last night, I'm watching, like, even this morning, I turned on the highlights to just, like, recap. And it's like, Cooper Kupp this, Cooper Kupp this, Cooper Kupp that. And you're like, wow, this guy is, like, you don't hear him unless you're looking for more Cooper Kupp information.
Yeah, so we have 3 games left this season. And if you want to compare across eras, we're going to have to do something with now that there's an extra week or whatever. For the purposes of this discussion, who cares? You could say there's 2 weeks left for him to meet the modern records, or 3 weeks left, whatever. He has the 10th most receptions ever in a season and the 19th most receiving yards ever in a season, and he's got a couple of weeks left. It's a pretty remarkable statistical season. 122 receptions, 1,625 yards, and 14 touchdowns on top of that. The best way, I know that a lot of people consume football through the lens of fantasy football, especially if it's not their team. The best way to put this maybe in terms of just how far above every other receiver he is, not only is he leading the league in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns, in terms of fantasy value, 26% more valuable than the number two wide receiver. Like, we're talking Travis Kelce, George Kittle, healthy levels of not even value above replacement level, value above like an average starting caliber player at that fantasy position. 26% better than the number two receiver, who is Deebo Samuel, who I think everyone would agree is having a really fun fantasy season because he's adding the rushing and everything like that. And just like blowing away a guy like Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson or Devontae Adams. Like, he has been by an order of magnitude the most productive statistical wide receiver in the league. It's not even close.
Yeah, so this is why I think he's also underrated. So I think all three of us are going to come in on the same thing. When I went to Cooper Kupp's stats, when I looked at the receiving leaders last night, I went, oh my God, I can't believe the discrepancy. Do you know what? So this one was one of the most shocking ones to me. Receptions of 20 or more yards. How many more do you think Cooper Kupp has than Tyreek Hill? Let's frame it that way. Because Tyreek Hill, we would agree, is like, oh, when you think about the big game-breaking receiver in the NFL, the guy who is scariest down the field, it's the receiver who has Patrick Mahomes with him, who we all agree is the fastest receiver in the NFL, correct?
Yep.
He has 11 more receptions of 20-plus yards than Tyreek Hill has. He has 5 more receptions of 40-plus yards than Tyreek Hill has. He has had a much, much, much better season when it comes to big plays than any other receiver in the NFL. He's had more targets, but I could argue that that's the case of being open. He has 20 more receptions than Tyreek Hill, who is the closest guy. He has, touchdowns. 5 more than Tyreek Hill, who's having a good season. Devontae Adams, who's also in that conversation for best wide receivers, he has 6 more touchdowns than. He has 5 more touchdowns than Justin Jefferson. And this is why I think Cooper Kupp is underrated. Usually when we talk best receivers in the NFL, people's minds go to Devontae Adams, they go to Tyreek Hill, they go to Justin Jefferson right now. I think that's sort of the list of three where our minds go to them. I don't believe that Cooper Kupp is there. I think Cooper Kupp we sort of think of as a byproduct of Sean McVay and the system, and, oh, he's a route runner. And I do think that there's certainly an element of like, hey, he's a white skills position player, so we almost expect like, oh, he shouldn't be this good. But he is incredible. He is truly unbelievable. These statistics are just eye-popping when you consider historically it's tough to do, right, Blake? You said it. It's really tough to do historically. But with his peers right now, the gap between him and the rest, I'm now actually looking at him going, if the Rams can finish second in the NFC, then his case should be just as strong, potentially stronger than Jonathan Taylor's. Because at least with Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry got hurt during the season, and that was sort of his peer. And my case for Jonathan Taylor has always been, well, he's kind of carrying a playoff team, one of these contender teams, and he's by far the best at his position. To me, it's actually looking like the gap between Cooper Kupp, his statistics, and his meaning to his football team might be greater than Tyreek's meaning to the Chiefs, might be bigger than Justin Jefferson's. Statistically, it really does appear this way. He's deadly. He's deadly.
Yeah, and if you want to expand it a little bit, go with a 3-year window, which includes when you're getting passed to by Jared Goff instead of Matthew Stafford. Still, over 2019, 2020, 2021, which is two Jared Goff seasons and a Matt Stafford season, number one in receptions, number one in receiving yards. He trails in touchdowns because Mike Evans has just had like so much connectivity with Tom Brady. And Devontae and Tyreek Hill and Adam Thielen are a little ahead of him too. But receptions and receiving yards, number one in the NFL over a 3-year window, and 2/3 of those games you were getting passed to by Jared Goff.
So when you look at the MVP rankings, like, do you see him in your top three now? Like, did this help you get to that point? Like, where does he rank for you guys?
Okay, so my MVP rankings are very different and very strange. Very strange, because I don't have Tom Brady in my top three. I just don't. I don't believe that Tom is having the best statistical season of any quarterback, but to me, the Packers are the best team in the NFL, and Aaron Rodgers is the primary reason for that. So he's my number one. If he doesn't have the weird COVID story, I actually think that he's the MVP favorite. And that should be counted against him, right? They lost the game because he was unavailable, because he refused to follow protocols. He had the weird lying thing. You know, your best ability is availability, and Rodgers hurt that for his team. Brady's played in all of his team's games. But would you put an injury against someone? And now with the evolving guys missing games because of COVID protocols, even despite having a vaccine, I will say that my opinion on it is shifting just a little bit in terms of how we would perceive what happened to Rodgers now versus what how we perceived it a couple months ago or a month and a half ago. So Rodgers is my number one. But yeah, I think that after last night's performance, I have as, you know, 2A and 2B, Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp. Whereas I would have had Tom Brady over Cooper Kupp yesterday, now I definitely have Cooper Kupp in that conversation. And I think the debate is essentially between, okay, is it Cooper Kupp or is it Jonathan Taylor who's firmly in that number two spot? And I don't know if I'm just being stubborn because I've been such a Jonathan Taylor guy, but I kind of feel as though when you look at those numbers, it's a real difficult conversation.
Before yesterday's game, I'm looking at his odds for MVP, and it was plus 10,000.
Yeah.
Before yesterday's
game. What was
Jonathan
Taylor? Same thing.
He was, no, plus 1,200.
Yeah, even worse. So Vegas views Cooper Kupp as ahead of Jonathan Taylor. My case for Taylor has been very clear. Over the course of the season after the Derrick Henry injury, there has been no player that I think is more directly responsible to his team's success than Jonathan Taylor. And if you look at the weapons around him, it's Carson Wentz and Michael Pittman Jr. Who's the best receiving threat? Who's the other best option for the Colts? My only counter that undercuts my argument is that the Colts have arguably the best offensive line in football when it comes to running. So you could say, like, okay, well, why aren't you talking about Quentin Nelson, the guard that he runs behind on just about every play that mauls people? So we do tend to overlook offensive lines in these discussions. I just think Cooper Kupp deserves to be here more, and that we need to really start calling Cooper Kupp the best wide receiver in the NFL, because to me that's becoming clear. Like, Davante Adams is with Aaron Rodgers and he's his by far favorite target, and Cooper Kupp is lapping him this season. This isn't a, oh, well, you're in the system, oh, you're in this spot. He played the majority of the season next to Robert Woods, a guy who soaked up a lot of attention for this team. This offense is about spreading the ball. It's about running the ball. Cooper Kupp is just dominant, and we need to stop acting like he is in some way just taking advantage of something and not that he is creating this.
So I pulled the odds this morning, updated now after last night's game, and Rodgers has actually pulled slightly ahead of Tom Brady.
Okay.
Plus 150 and plus 160. So they're basically a coin flip. Jonathan Taylor's pulled into third. He's at plus 800 now. But Cooper Kupp is still, he comes in tied for eighth. At plus 4,000. So,
oh,
like,
my goodness.
The only other non quarterback in the top 15 is TJ Watt.
Not Taylor? TJ Watt.
Oh, no. I said Taylor already.
Oh, sorry. I misheard because I thought it was Kupp and then nobody else.
No. So, sorry, I did. Yeah. Rodgers, Brady, Taylor is 1, 2, 3. And then it's, hey, here's every other quarterback on a winning team. Then Cooper Kupp and TJ Watt. And then, like, the Kirk Cousins class of guys.
Yeah, so, oh my God, I cannot imagine someone voting for Kirk Cousins or thinking that he's in the conversation. But I do wonder if the Brady dropping in the MVP odds has to do with Leonard Fournette and Chris Godwin missing the rest of the regular season, how much of that is attached to it. But that gets to my point, which is I really do feel as though Tom Brady right now, the reason why I don't have him higher in the MVP rankings, for anyone who's upset about that, or my personal ones, is that I just think he's more situation dependent than those other guys. I feel like Jonathan Taylor is creating his situation more than Tom Brady is. And that's no shot at Tom Brady. He's a 44-year-old quarterback that if he's given those weapons, like the opportunity to have a good offensive line, good weapons, and an intelligent head coach, that he is going to be Tom Brady. He's going to have MVP numbers. But if you take away even little pieces of that, it's over, right? Whereas Jonathan Taylor's been playing with Carson Wentz and no receivers all year long. Cooper Kupp has been situation independent. You have Robert Woods, you don't have Robert Woods, doesn't matter. Even looking back a couple of years, like Blake mentioned, is it Jared Goff with you? Who cares? I'm still going to rack up the stats. Is it Matthew Stafford, who's the most overrated player in the NFL with me? Doesn't matter. I'm going to rack up the stats. The other thing I thought of last night, I think Russell Wilson is washed. And not washed. I tweeted that he's not washed, but I feel like he's washed. I feel like he's done. This is a really long... Basically, Eilish's Bills killed Russell Wilson last year.
Yeah, baby.
He was never the same after that game, and he just has not... to me, he looks like a guy who's been hit too many times. He doesn't really escape anymore. He doesn't make nearly as many big plays. And last night, watching him underthrow DK Metcalf on a surefire touchdown that I've seen Russell Wilson drop in the bucket 100 times in my life, I went, there's got to stop. There's no more excuse making. The Seattle Seahawks held the Rams offense in check for the majority of that game. DK Metcalf was open multiple times against Jalen Ramsey. The rushing attack looked quality at times. The offensive line played okay in the run game. They forced a turnover. He's just bad. And I don't know what else to say about it. I wonder what you guys make of him, considering you have completely unbiased eyes and you don't care about him. You don't have a literal painting of him in your office.
Oh. I certainly don't. I don't know. I think he strikes me as a guy who, yeah, he hasn't looked very good this year, but like, would it surprise me if he turned the clock back in a new situation and a fresh start next season? Absolutely not, because like, as much as optically it doesn't look like the same guy, most of the metrics still show him as roughly the same. You know, like his, I know quarterback rating is not a great stat, but to compare across years, he's almost at 100 in terms of quarterback rating. His completion percentage is still up over 65%. You know, it's the volume that's down this year more than anything. Now, I don't think that excuses anything. Like, I think the volume's down for a reason, and it's because they're going away from a little bit more, and even though they're playing from behind more. But I don't know. I think you don't say that out loud, JD, because you still want to flip Russell Wilson for a nice return. But no, this is a guy that, like, he's probably, his best years are behind him, but if he comes out next year and it's like, oh yeah, he took another team to the next level, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I think he's still got something in the tank.
I think that it's hard to evaluate because this is his first losing season of his career. So like, it seems really bad, but it's the first time that he's had a losing season. And last year, when we look at what was kind of the downfall, it was like picks. He's only had 4 this year, but he's been really inconsistent. So I think if you're a fan, like, you've come in sometimes, JD, and you've been a little bit more confident about the Seahawks, but you've always felt like Russell Wilson was the defining thing about kind of where you stood on your confidence level, but he's been all over the place. There, he had to miss a month because of his finger, right? So think about that when you're trying to evaluate how he's been this year. I still think, like, as Blake said, if he comes out and can have a decent season next year, you can almost count this as a blip. But when I'm looking at the full season in total, it's been up and down, but I'm going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of the injury. And, you know, when you look at it, this is the first time that he's had like a losing season. So is it all out the window? Is he like completely washed forever? Like, kind of time will tell, but yeah. I'm not as negative about it as you are.
I've watched every start of his career. Every single one. I've never missed a Russell Wilson game. He's not the same guy. Fact. Mm-hmm. He's just not. He might go to the Saints this offseason and rejuvenate his career with a better offensive play caller, but this gets me to the Tom Brady thing where I go, if you put Russell Wilson in a situation where he's with a better offensive line and a smarter coach and play caller and a better running game, yes, do I think he can still be an elite quarterback? For sure. But he is more now situational dependent, whereas before he was not. There were seasons where Russell Wilson had the worst offensive line in football, and he was a top 3 MVP candidate. That's not this year. Mm. He's just not able to. The athleticism has taken a step back. He's just not able. Sometimes Russ takes sacks where you go, what the hell are you doing? And he always took sacks. But now it's a, like, he took a couple last night where I did one of my classic, won a game at least with Russell Wilson, where I go, throw that damn ball, man. Like that one, because he holds on to it too long. That's always been a thing, but then he comes back and puts one in your eye because he goes, oh, actually, I did escape this time, and then I was on the move, and I threw a dime to Tyler Lockett off 1 foot into the corner of the end zone, perfect rainbow pass, evading somebody. That's not happening anymore. He's not doing that. He's not escaping from defensive linemen. He looks a little bit slower. He also looks like someone who is more ready to protect himself, and maybe that's a byproduct of the finger injury this year, is that he sort of realized that he's human. Maybe it's a byproduct of him being my size and getting hit by Aaron Donald 1,000 times over his career. Like, I feel as though there are the things I've seen the most in my life. Number one is Russell Wilson getting hit by Aaron Donald. it's one of my most vivid Russell Wilson memories will always be his deep ball and the beauty of it. And then number two will be how he got crunched by Aaron Donald time after time after time. He's just not as athletic, and that's a real problem, because when he has to stay in the pocket, he is not able to deliver throws to certain parts of the field because of his height. He just isn't. This has been cataloged over and over and over again. There was a great article on The Ringer by Ben Solak at the beginning of the year pointing out that Russ has an inability to see, like, in the deep middle parts of the field, that he doesn't really hit those zones. And it was a big part of the offensive coordinator that they brought in. It's a big part of what the Rams do, which is who Seattle has their offensive coordinator. You watch him play, when he's in the pocket, he's just not nearly as effective. But now he doesn't have the ability to get outside of the pocket and deliver the same kind of throws on a regular basis. I just think now you have to draw things up for him. Now you have to draw rollouts out for him. You need a different coach. You need a different approach. I don't see the same guy. So maybe not washed, and you, like, two things can be true. I think you guys are right that if he goes somewhere else and gets a fresh look with a new team and a better situation, he could look better. But also, this is a guy that's had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett all season long, and how many receiving combos can you say are better than that?
Yeah, so just to put a number on your point about he's been hit a lot, he is 14th all-time in getting sacked. 423 yep. times he's been sacked, yep. And he leads all active players in times getting sacked per game, over 2.7 per game. So on an average game, he's getting sacked yep. three times.
He loves it.
That is more than any other active player. So he's behind, like, Roethlisberger and Brady for and Matt Ryan for volume, because they've been around longer. But there's no one in the modern game who gets sacked at the rate that Russell Wilson does. And you know, if you're worried about the cumulative toll, you know, that's where it is right there.
Blake, and I am worried about the cumulative toll, because what I see is a guy who is now on that DK Metcalf throw getting rid of it a bit earlier than he normally would. He's not staying in the pocket with the same confidence or, like, the same fearlessness when a defender is bearing down on him that he used to have in his career. So it's that combination of less athleticism, guarding himself a little bit differently. And you just cannot do that when you have the physical stature of Russell Wilson, right? You just can't do it. When you're that size, you have to play with ultimate fearlessness, ultimate escapability. He doesn't have it anymore. It's not the same guy. And I really am at the point where I actually now I'm thinking back, saying after this season especially, I know they would have never done it, hindsight's 2020. My take was always you never trade a player like Russell Wilson. Now, if you could get in a time machine, I don't know what the case is that you wouldn't have traded him last year when the Bears might have offered you Fields and multiple draft picks and whatever. And it could have even looked stupid. Maybe he does work out well with the Bears. I just know it's not working here. And I just don't see the same player that caused me to get a painting of this player. let's take a break and let's come back and let's talk to Eric Fair, who has been representing Canada at, I need to look this back up, the Channel 1 Cup in Russia, which I didn't know existed, but now there's no players from the NHL going to the Olympics. So now we're going to get very familiar with the Channel 1 Cup, the players that are there, who is coaching them, and how they feel about going to the Olympics, because this is looking like what the path is going to be. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning. Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. She's back.
That's right. I know you missed me. I got a lot of messages saying, the show sucks without you. Hurry back.
Yeah, but that's that's not the review your brother gave when you were off, so.
Oh, what did he call in?
No, but you sent us the text that he said when you were off. You sent us that this.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
You revealed that.
Yeah. Oops. I don't talk to your brother. I don't know your brother. So.
I was going to say, what? Was he here at the apartment when you were taking care of my cat?
He actually vied to fill in when you were away. He said, hey, I can do this show. I can be the one. I'll fill in.
Yeah. I can talk about dangling McDavid.
It does not run in the family.
So nice. We are 50% for this segment of people who have represented Team Canada in hockey. In addition to Ailish, we're joined by former NHL forward and Team Canada forward at the Channel 1 Cup, Eric Fair. Eric, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. So you just played in the 54th edition of the Channel 1 Cup. Are you, like us, finding out for the first time here in the 54th edition that the Channel 1 Cup exists?
I was not aware of the Channel 1 Cup, to be honest. I guess Canada hasn't really represented in that tournament very often, so that was a new one to me. But all the same, it was fun to get a chance to represent Team Canada in Moscow and a good opportunity to play some hockey.
So where are you now?
I'm in Zurich, Switzerland right now.
Okay. So that's
good afternoon to you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have no idea. We have no idea what time it is, but I just kind of am curious what the process is here. Cause I know that you are already, you must be aware now that NHL players aren't going. We'll get into some of the complicated feelings, but I know that you're at least aware that you're on a short list, having played on that team, to go to the Olympics now, if we even get an Olympics. But I do wonder if there's ever, like, has this trickle-down process reached you? Like, you're in Zurich. They're saying, hey, buddy, you better stay. You can't come back here. You got to stay somewhere. We're going to put you somewhere in a bubble until we can get to the Olympics. Like, how is it working for somebody like you now that this process is being opened up to players outside of the NHL?
Well, things happened pretty quickly. I came over to play in the Channel 1 Cup, and then I was going to go to Davos, Switzerland, to play for the Spengler Cup, represent Canada, and possibly wait the decision on the Olympics with the NHL. But because it happened quickly, I came back to Zurich and was looking for a job, a place to play, to prepare for an opportunity to potentially play in the Olympics. So things there's a lot of moving parts right now, but I signed a contract yesterday to play in Russia. So I'm going to do everything I can to prepare to give myself a chance to be on that team.
So this is a very strange question, but we had a listener text in once saying that the milk in Switzerland is the best milk ever because they have these alpine cows. So can you confirm that the milk is just elite over in Switzerland, or is this listener just in one?
No, I would confirm that it is elite. They have the cows roaming around on the side of the mountain. So
no way.
They're pretty happy cows here in Switzerland. Absolutely.
This is huge for the show. This is huge for the show. I didn't even consider it. Thank God Ailish remembered this. But yes, we have had like multiple segments on Switzerland milk. Now you're our insider. That's really what we brought you on for today, Eric, is just to like actually give us the inside scoop on milk in Switzerland. So thank you for doing that, sir.
And the best part of that is that fresh milk goes into the chocolate, which I'm usually addicted to when I'm in Switzerland. So it's pretty good.
We'll give you our mailing address for some chocolate, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that you guys deserve it.
Yeah. So how are just the emotions of this right now in terms of, like, are you talking to teammates, like, former guys? Again, you're on different schedule, different hours. Things are happening so quickly. Where's your level of communication with maybe some of the guys that you used to play with? I don't know if you're talking to Sid Novechkin still or what the day-to-day communication is, but guys like that who don't get to go and thinking about them later in their careers, who it means so much to. Yeah, where are you just at, like, mentally with some of this, Eric?
Well, I was trying to get my information from a lot of the NHL players that were planning on going to the Olympics, and obviously they were getting updates from the NHL and the NHLPA, and it looked like they were going to be going right up until they weren't. So obviously things happen quickly, and now having an opportunity to be on this short list, I've talked to a couple of the other guys on the list and just kind of what we're going to do to try to prepare and how this is all going to play out.
Go ahead, Blake.
So what is it like on your end to like that emotion of not only waiting to hear and waiting to be asked, but also knowing that, like, obviously this would mean a lot to you, but it's, you know, it's unfortunate from a hockey standpoint, from a fan standpoint, and from a just like the situation we're in standpoint.
Yeah, as a hockey fan, I'm super disappointed. I was really looking forward to watching the Olympics. I think Canada has some of the best players in the world right now, and would have been a great opportunity to showcase them. And kind of wanted to see a MacKinnon, McDavid, Crosby line for just a little bit or something like that. But, you know, as a hockey player, you know, it's kind of exciting for me. This is why I came back to play hockey this year. I wasn't going to play. And when Team Canada called to ask me if I was willing to go on the long list, you know, that got me back playing and got me dreaming of a chance to play in the Olympics. You know, that wasn't something that was on my list a couple years ago, but just an opportunity like that is something you can't pass up.
Yeah. Hey, is there a way that you can kind of describe to us why guys care so much more about this tournament than others? Like, I mean, outside of, hey, it's just the Olympics, you get a chance to be an Olympian. We've had conversations with people around hockey who haven't played, who haven't represented Team Canada, and talked about the idea of trying to float around something like the World Cup, right, that they tried a few years ago in Toronto, but it just didn't hit. And maybe part of that was that they tried the gimmicky teams of North America and Team Europe, and Canada ends up beating Team Europe, a collection of guys playing and representing different countries. But hockey doesn't hit the same way, whether it is the Channel 1 Cup or the Spengler Cup or the World Cup or the World Championships, quite like it does with the Olympics. But part of that is just the way that the players approach it and the way that the players talk about it. And that really does resonate with us as fans. Like, are you able to just sort of summarize a little bit as to why this tournament would mean so much more to you, even though right now, yeah, you are someone who has played in the NHL. You are someone who's you're a champion, you know, and this, you can tell hearing in your voice what this would mean to you.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Olympics. There's so much history there. This isn't some made up tournament where they're going to put a couple teams together and you're just going to play. You know, there's a lot of history in the Olympics, and an opportunity to represent your country on the biggest stage in the world is unbelievable. So I think if you ask anybody, that's the top. I mean, the Olympics is where you dream of playing. Obviously, hockey has the NHL, and you want to win the Stanley Cup. But I think if you ask a lot of the European players, they'd probably put Olympics ahead of the Stanley Cup. So that just kind of goes to show the level of this tournament.
Well, we wish you all the luck and continue to get that Alpine cow milk in you to keep you strong and healthy as you possibly
Alpine
represent
bones.
Our country. Appreciate you coming on today.
I'll do my best. Thank you.
Enjoy the weather in Switzerland. Here it's beautiful as well.
Thank you, guys. Have a great morning.
See you, Eric.
We love the milk talk. We actually just got two texts in about the Swiss milk. One from Meredith and EG, my girl Meredith. Loving the respect for Swiss milk. I come from a long line of Swiss candy makers, and we really should focus less on their banking practices and more on their global contribution to confections. Also, big congrats to Eric Fair. And then our boy, Sean from Pickering, who is the Alpine cow milk guy. You know, he even said so in the text. He was pumped about the fact that we asked the question, and he said he confirms that he was right about the milk being better over there. So, you know, we're just doing what the people want here, talking about Swiss cow milk.
Blake's about to give us a chart, though, about how we've only got a sample of two and what that is relative to the planet Earth, and hearing that it's only two people in the entire planet that have said the Alpine milk is the best, that it's like it should be kind of – it's. He says noise. He goes, is that a lot of noise when he talks about analytics? Blake, is this a lot of noise?
Look, I don't really care that much about the milk side of this, but I will say – if you want me to buy into these responses being statistically significant on the chocolate side, I'm going to need to be one of the small sample. I'm going to need to
confirm
that these aren't outlier opinions.
Eric wasn't too – he was like, yeah, you guys deserve the chocolate, but he wasn't pumped about sending it to us. And you know that's my role on the show, to try to get free stuff sent to us.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're getting that.
Can you come on our radio show and as a thank you, send us, ship us chocolate internationally?
Amazing.
And if that's
it's
out of your pocket.
Before.
Look, you just told us that you signed a new deal in Russia, Eric. Mm-hmm. use that signing bonus to send some strangers some chocolate.
I'm so jealous of your ability to do this. Like, this actually just speaks to your confidence level versus, say, Blake's and mine. I think I see myself more in Blake in this regard. Blake, you tell me if I'm wrong. I have trouble asking for things unless I really feel like, hey, this should be my thing. But even when I do it, it's a slow-rolled approach. It's very much built out of a place of, I don't know, shame. I have no idea where it comes from. But
so I'm just shameless.
No, you're not. In some ways, absolutely you are. But you are very much like my sister, and I'm jealous of her for this, is that if she wants something, she goes, can I have that? And people most of the time go, you can have that. And I go, damn it. And you're the type of person who goes, well, how do you know if you can get that if you don't ask? And I'm the person who just lives in silence, resenting people like you. Blake, are you on? You're with me, right? You're a doesn't know how to properly ask for things that they want and would just hang out in the sidelines with me watching and resenting.
Yeah, I'm I'm a little boy who never learned how to ask for other people's food.
Yes.
You just do the fake, give me that. I don't want to be an imposition to anyone. I don't want to ask for anything. JD, I am surprised that that's your perspective, because JD, you strike me as Ailish strikes me, and we've experienced that she's an ask for it person. JD, you strike me as a just take it person, not a don't even ask for forgiveness, not permission kind of guy.
No, wrong. I do that if it's a social setting. I actually am big time an introvert to begin with. If it's a new setting, I usually like to hang back and sort of feel it out before jumping in. If I'm comfortable, obviously I'm going to end up being me. But I usually, listen first and then jump in and see kind of what the vibe of the room is. But when it comes to asking for material things or something like that, I don't have any ability to do that whatsoever. I'll starve to death. Like, I'll be the thirstiest person in the room. Someone will be like, you want water? And even if I want a water, my natural instinct is to say no. Even as I'm like the driest mouth person ever, I never want to impose on people. I never want them to have to wait on me whatsoever. I say this as my, I'm at my mother's house where it's the complete opposite, where I'm like, Mom, everything, let's go. Get me breakfast, get me chores, do the laundry. She's just, I'm working her to the bone over this Christmas.
I'm picturing the office room right now, having like one of those slots like in solitary confinement where she's just sliding a tray of treats through.
Buddy, I showed up here. She had the office ready to go. She goes, is this all right to your status? I was like, And I did a finger, like, to check for dust over different areas. I was like, I'm doing the check. But when it comes to social setting, asking for things I want in terms of this is weird now. We're down a weird rabbit hole. But what I want emotionally, I'm not afraid to ask for, which is super weird, which is super, super strange.
One follow-up text here from our girl Meredith. She said, I will send you Swiss chocolate. Give me time. Merry Christmas, dudes. Well, there we go. Ding, ding, ding. Meredith and EG, my loyal text line friend.
Let this be known as well. You want to get on the text line? You want Ailish to read your notes
send
on the text line?
Stuff.
And how important you are. She's like, Meredith has branding now on the show of my girl from EG. You want that? It's very simple formula with Ailish. Hey, Ailish, where can I send food to you? Oh, valued listener, I care so deeply for you. I love you. Oh, thank you so much for listening. Who cares if you go to the podcast, whatever you do, just food.
Yeah, there's three ways. Offer Ailish food, talk trash about me and JD so Ailish can just chuckle to herself as she looks at the text line, or say you're from East Gobble Cherry or whatever that place is called.
So that there's
like if I was operating the text line, anyone with the 519 area code, I'd be like, that's okay. Who's coming on. That's I love doing visual cues on an audio medium. I would commandeer it, and it would be all talk from the region. So you keep going, Ailish, with the EG.
So we were doing a draft. Top things to do when stuck indoors on vacation. In honor of Ailish getting stuck indoors during her vacation. Obviously, you did hit the slopes, but you couldn't go anywhere when you were off the mountain, your freezing cold mountain. And so you spent a lot of times doing things indoors. The draft so far has gone as follows. By the way, hit us up on the text line 590-590. You can also tweet and DM on Instagram, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus. Hit us all up on there if you have anything that you feel like we're going to end up missing in the vacation draft. Blake, with the Ailish had the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. And with Ailish's first overall pick, she kind of cheated, but we let her have it, which was she took board games and cards. it's okay. It's one of those. She did it. She asked for something, right? This is the theme of this segment. She asked for something, and people were kind of surprised by it. So they said, yes, you can have it all. Ailish has board games and cards as her first overall selection. Blake went number two. He went with video games, was specifically the N64. That is, I can even see it now. It's in that little wooden cupboard, you know. You open it up below the television, and the N64 is in there on the top shelf, and you go, oh, my God. And you're setting it up. You're blowing on the cartridges. Like, oh, so good.
There's that and a How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days DVD.
Yes. Pulp Fiction DVD for sure as well. Yeah. Always a Pulp Fiction DVD. And I have taken drinking games, which, again, was a bit of a cheat. But I would say the best drinking game for when stuck indoors is usually the one that has the name that you use for a donkey and then the thing that you dig in the ground. you combine those two things, and that is the name of the game. Ailish says she doesn't know that game, by the way, which was astonishing.
Well, I think I do, but I just need to look it up. Maybe it was called something different because I'm not explicit and I'm young. And I don't swear like you guys.
I think it's because somebody doesn't know the best drinking game. So it's a snake draft, so I'm going to go again with my second overall selection, the fourth overall pick in the draft. I take Naps.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Naps. Blake, you're insane. Especially the older you get, the more important it is when you are on a vacation, especially you are on a trip that is involving multiple days of drinking. Mm-hmm. I like to stay up late. I'm a huge night owl. Being able to crack out for a nap when you're inside, little quick couch snooze, going away into your room and sneaking off from the group, and they go, where's JD? Oh, he's having a nap. Naps, elite choice. Almost thought about taking it number one. Naps with the fourth overall selection. Yeah, that's how great I feel about naps.
Come on. Oh, what do you want to do on your vacation? Oh, I don't want to be conscious for it. I don't want to be able to enjoy any of the vacation things.
Blake, we're about to enter a little bit of a stretch here where we get some days off. How much are you looking forward to sleep?
I'm not a big sleeper anyway. Like this, honestly, this job hasn't been a crazy, like I've gone from like 6 hours a night to 5 hours a night. And now I nap maybe 2 days a week because I feel like I have to on kind of a Tuesday, Thursday schedule. I don't care that much for sleep.
Oh, I love naps. I naps is so high on my list. Like, yeah, a little. Oof. This is great. This is so. I'm only
like I had a nice nap by the fire when I was there at the chalet, fire and that nap. Was just like you're just toasty. You smell the crackling wood. Like it's it's perfect. You're in a little blankie. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good, Blake. You're missing out on naps, but Blake, you get the next pick. So now we get to find out what we think that you or that we might be missing out on, or what I missed.
I do get the next pick. So I'm going with drinking games off the board. I'm going to go for something in a similar vein that also this is a chemistry play. I made my first round pick N64.
Okay.
I want a player who can fit in alongside that N64 right away. With the fifth overall pick, I select drugs.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Great pick. No, it's a really good
pick. This is a kid's show.
No, but it's a really good pick. This is a like
legal.
Yeah, it's legal. He means legal drugs, not illegal drugs. Legal.
I will leave it vague.
I will also leave it vague. But I would just like to say that, sure. Drugs.
If you are offended, I mean the legal ones.
Do you know what, though? I almost would have given you drugs with video games because I think that it's such a natural pairing at the cottage or at the being stuck inside that I would have almost gone, man, he got video games, which came, like, when I open up that console, there was also a grinder right beside the console.
Yeah, there's a pre-roll in the NHL.
Exactly. Oh, yes. No, there's nothing. Has there ever been anything that has been used more as a surface than NHL video games that were used for a PlayStation or Xbox in terms of things that joints have been rolled on in the history of anything in this country?
No, like NHL 2008
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why that
No,
one,
it is.
Because I was
no, because
in college,
you're right. But... No, because you're right. Yeah. Because you're that's the correct answer. Is if we were on Jeopardy, we'd be so stoked right now is Canadian surfaces and we'd be like Canadian surfaces for 1,000. They'd go this video game series. Ding 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 ding. In. We're in. We're in. We're in.
2008. Yeah.
Yeah. Ailish doesn't know cuz that's when she was born. All right, Ailish, what is your next pick? You get two in a row here.
I get two in a row. I'm going to go with movie marathons. So like yeah, starting a series, like we started Harry Potter, like just go for like a day of watching a movie marathon or watching like Home Alone, all the series of them, whatever floats your boat, but movie marathons would be a fun thing. You just cozy up there and yeah, watch some movie series.
Yeah, it's a great pick. It's a really good pick. Especially when it is, like, when do you find the time to do those movie series?
You don't.
Never.
Very rarely. And you get it there. Like, that's the one benefit. So it's a really great pick. It's like, way above just normal Netflix. That's when you're at home, whatever. That's where it's a communal thing, where you're watching the entire movie series. I love that pick. I think it's elite. All right, Blake, it's back. Or sorry, Ailish,
no,
you get two in
Ailish
a row.
Ailish got one more, yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, sorry, Ailish.
So I was going to say listening to the Fan Morning Show podcast. But I'm just kidding on that one. But yes, keep that in mind. Like, subscribe, download, rate, everything. I'm going to say reading.
Nerd. Read.
Well, I just think in our daily lives, we don't get enough time to just like disconnect from our phones and read and like curl up with a good book. And I think on vacation is like one of the only times that I bring a physical book to hold in my hands and to read and to just like, you know, have my me time. And that's something that I would do. And I did do while I was on my indoor part of my vacation.
Gotta be honest. I didn't pick it last round because I thought I could wait on it. Thought I could wait.
Here's what I'm never doing: reading, unless it's like one of those cabins where they have the Archie comics, and I go, "Oh, Archie." You
know? That still counts as reading.
A double digest.
Yeah. What's Jughead up to right now? Like, that's
no, you're
me,
more of a Reggie.
Yeah. Oh, I love Reggie. Of course, Reggie's my guy. Yeah. Like, of course, Reggie. Team Reggie. All right, Blake. So you didn't get it. I have two elite picks left. So this is like one of those. I'm thrilled no matter what I end up getting select here if Blake blows this.
I don't think I'm going to take what you had. I think this is one that like it's very. Now I'm second guessing it.
Double clutch.
So this is strictly from like when I was a kid, but I'm going to do it anyway. You're at a hockey tournament. I'm drafting mini sticks. You play mini sticks in the living room, in the hotel hallway. It's if I don't pick that, my brother is going to rage at me. And
how old
I'm,
are you?
Well,
when's
this
the
is
last
thing.
Time
I
you played
it,
mini sticks?
I said it's a pick for kids. Like you gotta. I'm assuming.
So you have drugs and mini sticks on the same list. You're gonna make this pick
that's
on.
Awful.
This is an all-time choke pick. I've never been stuck indoor. Like that's a you're on a hockey trip when you're 12 years old pick. Like this
yeah,
is not.
Yeah, that's
a,
what I said. I just got in trouble for the pick.
I'm gonna give you a redo. I'm gonna give you a redo. Do you want a redo on this? It's you
yeah,
right
I mean,
now.
You're not gonna like my redo. Either because
no, I'll take it over. Like, if we're on vacation together and we're stuck inside, and you go, "Hey, buddy, you want to play mini sticks?" I'm like, "I get the next cab Uber."
It was not for 35-year-old Blake.
I know.
It was a more family-oriented pick.
Yeah. Hey,
for
that's
my
a
brother.
Nice throwback. I appreciate the memory, and I agree with the memory.
Should have saved it as an undrafted free agent.
Yes. Yes. What is?
This is also one you're not going to like, but it's something that during the pandemic a couple of times. I rented like Airbnb cabins to get out of the city for my sanity a little bit. And what I spent most of my time doing was writing, but not my usual sports writing, like creative writing and some like fictionalized journaling and stuff. And that's something that if I'm at my desk and I'm in my apartment, I'm never really going to get the headspace to do because this is workspace and this is I'll be in sports mode and I'll be in work mode. It was really, really great for me on those couple of trips to get to kind of no Wi-Fi connection, just the empty Word document.
That's why I said reading. It's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you took reading from me. I can't. Do you want me to draft reading after you took reading?
No. I was just agreeing
I actually want to say that I kind of want to give you two things on this, which is writing / meditating, because I feel like that is one of your versions of meditating is being thoughtful in that space. So let's put that one down as meditating. Because I think that applies greater to the like wider public is what you're doing. Meditating, taking time to yourself, taking time for your thoughts. That's a good pick. I have two left on my board, and I don't know which to take, so I'm going to elicit an answer from both of you. I can't believe you don't have this one here. Eating too much. Like, eating too much food, obviously, calories don't count when you're stuck indoors and you're doing that. You just eat. You go, oh, we're stuck inside, so we better eat all of the snacks, and we just eat, eat, eat. And the other one is fighting with a family member, fighting with a sibling. It's so good. You're stuck indoors. You get the cabin fever, and you get in, like, a good spar with a family member. That's an elite family vacation one. That's so good. That's a different type of fight.
Yeah.
I'm going eating too much because that's what I did this trip, and it's very present in my mind. I think I ate, like, 50 bags of those chips. You know which
How
chips I'm talking about? It was never ending.
I thought eating too much was, like, it was just assumed that we're eating too much on any vacation, whether you're stuck indoors or not. But yeah, I'm going with the fighting with the brother. That plays really nicely off of my let's play a physical sport. And then it devolves into either like backyard wrestling or just, hey, I'm going to choke you out and make you tap out in front of your new girlfriend who's around the family for the first time.
Yeah, I'm choosing fighting with a family member. It's a different thing when you're on vacation because then you're going to have another drink later and you're going to be like the makeup with the family member. The deeper I love you because you've been stuck inside the whole time, let's go watch the movie marathon or play a drinking game or smoke some drugs and play play Super Smash Brothers. Either way, it ties in perfectly. So that's going to be the list. We are so late. We have to take a break. We'll be back. Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.